Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ad Project Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Schellerud, and today I am joined by Jerome from eComas at the Prosper Show. So Jerome, it's awesome to talk with you.
I'm super excited to be here. I'm a big fan of your show, you know, so it's excitement. Prosper is a great energy, lots of people, lots of connections, so awesome to be here.
Yeah. So for people who aren't familiar with you, kind of give us a breakdown, what you do, like talk about the agency a bit, all that good stuff.
So we're an agency. I started the agency 10 years ago in Luxembourg. So the idea was to be very global, at least pan-European. We have teams today in India, in Madagascar, Africa, and now in the US and in Europe, of course. And we help people expand, specifically on Amazon, but other marketplaces in terms of, you know, your account, but also retail media, which we a passion we share.
Yeah.
And like everything to help you grow your brand.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm always interested in, love talking to you about, is expanding internationally.
Yeah.
And so if I look at our client base, we tend to be, we do have different clients in Europe and throughout the globe, but we tend to focus more on North America, whether it's the US or Canada. And so I'd love to get your perspective on those who are looking to expand internationally. Like, what should they take into account? Where do they start? I don't know, just kind of walk us through the process and we can go from there.
Yeah, so like from a 1,000 miles up looking at it, like going international is a huge potential, obviously, because you get access to a lot of customers. Like the European market altogether is probably as big or bigger than the US market.
Sure.
Now, so the potential is there. There's no doubt. And it's a growing potential. Like a lot of Amazon, you know, Amazon is said to be opening in South Africa very soon. So like,
yeah,
there's things happening all the time. And probably, you know, that's a gross enabler for sure. Now, this being said, it's a complicated one, which is an opportunity and a threat. So it means not everyone can go there. There's a high barrier to entry, let's say, if we talk in porter terms, let's say.
Sure.
And that means that there's quite a few things and it has a cost. So if you have limited margins, little resources, maybe you want to focus on your main market and grow there. If you have like good margins, you are ready to invest to, you know, for longer term, then going international is what you want to do, basically.
Sure. So if I'm an Amazon seller, say I just started in the US and I'm looking to expand internationally, like what's the best route to take? Where do you usually start when you go there? Like if I want to go to Europe?
Yeah, so what I usually, when we work with brands, it's like step back, always a bit boring, right? It's like, okay, excitement, but like why are you doing it? Are
sure.
you winning, you know, do you want to quick win? Do you want to build a brand because long term you want to be there? It's understanding a bit why you would want to do that. Then the question is, okay, what's your portfolio? Is your brand well known only in your home market, in the other market? Understanding the target markets, like if you go to Europe, then you have main two markets are UK and Germany. Those are the biggest markets in
yeah.
Amazon terms, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's, for example, okay, you know, how are your products, like your product category doing in Europe? Who are the big names? You know, what are the, you know, cost per, the, you know, the bidding cost of the main keywords, things like that. It's like, okay, how much will it cost me to go there?
Sure.
And get an idea of building a P&L, basically of saying, okay, you know, how much can I do? Is like, is a potential market, I don't know, 100 million. How can, you know, can I make 1% of that?
Yeah.
Can I make 0.2%? So that's a question. And then starting to build a P&L. A lot of the time we've been working with brand, they were sort of, wow, I'm not making money quick enough. And it's like, for sure, maybe you didn't prep enough. And
yeah.
it's all that first aspect. First is really looking at the finance part. It's like, how big is the potential, what I could do? Then
sure.
that's the first thing. The second thing is then, okay, looking at, let's say, supply chain wise, is like, okay, how do I get my products there? Do I want to have a, you know, a seller FBA account? Do I want to have a warehouse or not? Do I want to go through a like someone who's got a seller account?
Yeah.
And then it's looking at, do I need, what's legal tax obligation. And that's the biggest first hurdle. Like, the first thing is, you know why you're doing it. You're building up your confidence with the P&L.
Yeah.
The second part is looking at, okay, the tough part is like, do I need compliance? Like, do I need special stickers? Do I need, you know, and then I need to open like VAT, which is special European taxing. I need to get a VAT number if I'm selling myself on as a seller, and things like that. So you got quite a few things. And here, either in-house, you have people who know it, who know about it, or you can work with people like us, but there are other players,
sure,
which will know Europe and will help you navigate that. So these are really the two first things, is knowing why you want to do it and what's the economics, let's say, and then looking at all the tax and compliance stuff.
Sure. So what would you say, like, if I looked at, like, general benchmarks? So, all right, I'm selling in the U.S., and I'm just taking this kind of as a starting point, just because we have a lot of our listeners are U.S. sellers. And say I expand to the UK or Germany, like, each product's going to perform different, but in terms of overall traffic, do you have any, like, general benchmarks on how, like, you know, is, like, you're, like, if I go to the UK, maybe, like, 10% of the US, or what do you typically see if I had to throw out, like, general round numbers?
So that is a great question and a difficult, great and difficult question.
Yeah.
So well done on that one. It's a very difficult, I would say it would be misleading to give that number.
Yeah.
Usually what I kind of say, like, roughly, is that you could expect to do half of what you're doing in the US. You should be doing it in Europe at some point rather quickly. So that's already giving you like a number.
Perfect general benchmark right there.
Exactly.
I love that. And what would you say too? So there's less traffic in each of these individual markets, but there's also less sellers overall. Like, how does the competition stack up? And if you're looking at, like, cost per click, like, is it generally less competitive, more competitive? Like, how would you kind of rate that based off of, like, again, in comparison to, like, a US market?
So in general, it's less competitive. Like, each country will be less competitive, but I, like you said, like, there's less players or less sellers, less advertisers in each country, right?
Sure.
So that's a general thing. Now, Amazon is so very big in the UK and in Germany that they, like, if you're on Amazon, like, it's big enough for you. If in other countries, like, let's say in France or in Holland or in Poland, you have local players which are very important. So if you want to own the market, you would probably need to have another one on top of Amazon. So that makes you already a bit of a difference in terms of competition, but also in terms of potential.
Yeah.
In France, for example, it happened to us that on some categories, the search volumes were actually not very high, and that it was sometimes, what's happening? Like, the not enough people, there's not enough researchers, even for us to, for our ad to show up. So it's really gathering, and that's why I was saying the first step is to understand, you know, is there anyone selling? You know, what are the sales numbers? And there's a lot of tools in the market, and which are here, you know, the Helium 10s, Jungle Scouts, all of them, you know, which will give you market insight. So you can get those information, and to come back to your point is, like, a bit like the US, if you're looking at the global scope, the US is the biggest market, but it's the most competitive one.
Sure.
If you go a bit down, then you have UK and Germany will be also less competitive, but still competitive.
Yep.
You go one layer down, it's France, it's lesser potential, but lesser competition. And same with Italy and Spain. Yep. Then you go down all the way down, like, for example, Sweden. There's not much competition, but there's not much market. So like, it's always you have to check up. But normally, we usually start with UK and Germany because there's more people on there. And then you can, even from an advertising point of view, there's more things you can do than with less people. Right?
Sure. And another thing that you touched on was VAT. So just for the person who doesn't really understand VAT at all, can you just give us a high-level overview on what VAT is? Because I know this is a major hurdle that people struggle with.
It's a major hurdle. So first thing is, you have to understand that in the US, when you go to a shop, where you go everywhere, you see net prices. So you see without taxes. And when you go and pay, for us Europeans, it's very strange. Like, yo, I saw it was $100, and, you know, and you're charging me $110. Yep. What happened? because you have the tax at the end.
Yep.
Like, as if you were not paying it. So in Europe, you all all the prices you see are with taxes. So yeah. It includes more or less, let's say as a benchmark, the percentage could be a bit different depending on the country, but it's more or less 20%.
Sure.
So if you see a price on Amazon, 120, that's the price, like complete with VAT.
Yeah.
And the process of VAT is that if you're a seller, you will charge 120 euros, let's say, or pounds to the end consumer. 100 euros is for you, but 20 euros is actually for the government. Yeah. So you will have to collect and pay those 20 euros to the government and declare that amount. Sure. And that's what all VAT is about. So you have to get a VAT number. So if it goes with the country. So if it's in the UK, it will be GB, and then I think it's 9 digits. Or if it's France, it's FR, and then the 9 digits.
Yeah.
And then you have to collect it and then pay it. Depending on the country, it could be quarterly or it could be monthly.
Sure.
Okay, that's the beauty of Europe. Everything is different in every country.
We get to deal with that on state taxes in the US.
So, exactly. You know. So it's very similar. For us also, it's very strange. Like, it's one country, but each state is different. And then between states, they could fight who's going to pay the tax where.
Oh, man, the bane of my existence as an Amazon seller was state taxes. and it's just everyone, you'd file it differently, different frequencies, all that good stuff. So sounds like we've kind of got the same situation here.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And the rule of VAT, what you have to remember is that you are due to pay VAT in the country where the last touch was before the customer got the product.
Okay,
so
sure.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
If your product is warehoused in France, like the last warehouse, not the transit ones, but the last warehouse is in France and your customer is in France, VAT is due in France. If the product is warehoused in France, but the customer is in Spain, your VAT is still due in France.
Okay, interesting.
If it's warehoused in Spain, your VAT is due in Spain. So you will have, if you have pan-EU FBA, that means your stock will be put everywhere in all the countries, you will need to have a VAT number in each of those countries.
Sure.
You have an option to say, no, I want to keep everything in Germany, for example. And they have what they call one-stop shop. I don't want OSS, which says you can do all the sales from Germany to all of Europe. So it could be a good first step is saying, okay, I wanted to make it simple. I keep all the goods only in Germany.
Yeah.
And then I only pay VAT in Germany. I only need one VAT account. But obviously, if the products are warehoused in Germany and the customer is in the south of Italy, the delivery will be 3 to 4 days. So it's like it's not the same experience as the one-day delivery you would want to give maybe to grow.
Yeah. Walk me through localization.
Yeah.
And I'd also love your perspective on different AI tools, and that industry is changing quite a bit too. Walk me through all right, can I just use a translator? I'm guessing the answer is going to be no. And then, what do you typically see works best? Or is it finding individuals like yourself who are familiar with the markets and can really speak the language?
So I would look at it to the P&L discussion at the beginning is, do you have the means?
Yeah.
Obviously, the perfect thing is you take an expert who knows the market, who will, carry you along and show you the things and have a translator translate your SKUs and that, and have SEO, and that's perfect. That's costly. And usually when people talk to us, I say, okay, you need to be careful. Translation, localization is very expensive.
Sure.
So if you can or cannot afford it. So now with AI, I would not say it's yes or no. It's more about, I would probably go for a hybrid approach. Like if you have a very small catalog and you have a few SKUs, I would certainly go with a translator to make sure those SKUs are perfect.
Yeah.
If you have a larger catalog, I'm talking 50, 100 SKUs, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to do your 20-80. What are the 20% which are making 80% of your revenue or expected revenue? Then those you want to have a translator, make sure the language is perfect. And the rest you use AI and maybe you try to find a solution for someone to proofread at a best cost, but then it's a good hybrid way. You need to be clear that, for example, in some countries, in France specifically, but Germany also, if you have mistakes in grammatical mistakes in your title, it's game over. It's very difficult. And
people see right
half
through
French,
it.
So yeah. And Germans then that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it is kind of very important. And AI tools are getting really good, but you're maybe taking a risk. Like, yeah. Risk versus saving money. So it's really, you have to maybe A/B test, yeah. Like, and maybe if conversion rate is not good, have a look at it again.
Yeah. And bring in an expert and figure out what you messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
What about like product packaging? So how much customization do I need for each individual market or language, like between France and Germany and the UK? How do you see sellers typically navigating that with the different languages?
So you have very difficult products and very simple products. Like, difficult products would be food products, would be sure. Like anything with, you know, chemicals or like active ingredients and stuff like that, because the regulation is different from country to country.
Yeah.
So you need to have a different label. For instance, if you have medical things, let's say, in some countries you need to have the most important ingredient first.
Okay.
In some countries you have to have the ingredient with most grams first. So
gotcha,
it's like
sure.
Your label has to be different in different countries. So this is probably the most difficult.
Yep.
So you have to make sure the compliance. If you're selling a product with no electricity, like with or battery, something super simple, even with no batteries, then that's much easier. And then you just need to have normally at least some a label in the local, like at least something on the packaging,
sure.
And an instruction manual which is translated. But you could very well, for example, use one of the pictures on the Amazon listing with the picture of the packaging with your local language, for example.
Sure.
And that could be an in-between solution before you really have that in your packaging. Another thing is just printing an A4 sheet of paper, which you fold and you put into your packaging in the local language, then you don't have enormous costs.
Gotcha.
You can find, because you don't have it on the shelf, you know, the customer will get it, so you just need to be able to read it. So you there are ways of not making it super complicated.
Yeah. So, all right, so somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I really want to sell in Europe.
Yeah.
All right. With like e-commerce, like kind of walk through the process. So I know at the beginning, it's like, okay, what are the key goals here? But then what do the next steps look like? Kind of like a little step-by-step guide for people considering going into the European market.
Yeah. So usually it's like, okay, what's your product type? You know, and then, okay, how complex will it be?
Sure.
And then we have to go in more or less regulations and make sure that it's like, are your product ready?
Yep.
Then it's like, how will we get your products into Europe? Will we go directly to FBA? Will we have an in-between warehouse?
Yeah, walk through the fulfillment side a little bit too.
So typically what we recommend, so typically we have a seller account, for example, and some of the brands we say it could be an interim solution. You go on our account.
Sure.
And we don't really want to be a distributor, but we will help you and you can navigate, get an idea of what, you know, how much you could be selling. It's a good interim solution.
Yeah.
And then the supply chain is basically what we recommend is you send your products directly to Europe and directly to the FBA center. So you don't have an in-between warehouse where you will have more costs. So it means putting the labels and everything and have everything ready.
Yeah.
It also means that you need to have a responsible person in Europe who will be the one, oh, I'm importing your products, and the government knows that, okay, I'll go and knock on his door if something goes wrong. So you need to have a responsible person. You need to have people who are there to represent you.
Yeah.
If you use like a third-party seller, like ours, for example, you could use another one. It's an easy step because you just export.
Sure.
He's the importer. Now, if you want to say, no, long term, or you after your face test, you say, no, I really want to do it my way.
Yeah.
Or with my own account. Fair enough. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
What you want to do is to, the first step, which the one takes longer, is to get a VAT number. In Germany, it could take 4 to 6 months to get a VAT number.
Oh, really?
And you can't sell without that VAT number.
Yeah, okay.
So you could say, oh, you know, I'll start with you guys and I'll ask for my VAT number.
Sure.
So that sort of gives you some time and you can prepare yourself. Then you open your seller account. That's very easy. You know, like it's in the US, very easy. You open it up. You can open it up with a US LLC with a bank account. There's some also service providers to help you with exchange rates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you can have like local currency bank account, but it can work with your USD bank account. That works. That's very easy.
Yeah.
So you would open that up, list the products, then get them there, and you start then advertising. So it's there's like the complicated part is really the compliance and VAT stuff. But
that's always where you start after key goals. Yeah. All right, let's make sure there's no hurdles or showstoppers here.
Exactly.
And now we can start to get into more of the details.
And if you wanted like limited support, I would certainly say, okay, don't VAT. We all love Amazon, okay? Yeah. And I don't want to say anything bad, but Amazon is not maybe the best for them to handle your VAT. Because the tax elements for them is, okay, they'll go a bit quick. So I would recommend not go through Amazon, because sometimes they make it look like, no, don't worry, it's super simple.
Yeah.
It's not super simple. So you'd rather pay a bit more and make having it really a professional.
Make sure you don't have any of those
and
issues.
I'm not trying to sell my, like saying, oh, we only, no, there are other people, but make sure you have someone really reliable, because the tax part in Europe, you don't, it's a bit like IRS. You don't fool around with
it. Well, you hear the horror stories, like even on the US side, people who had not collected sales tax, and then later on, and it's like the one. And yeah, it's a tax that you can't get rid of even with bankruptcy and everything in the U.S. And yeah, that could be a business killer right there, not collecting the right taxes and then having that come back at you later.
And in Europe, all the tax offices have put a lot of pressure on Amazon to make sure that they enforce that too. So if you have no VAT number in your account, they will suspend your account.
Yeah.
So if you want to start to sell and you've forgotten to put your VAT account or your EERI number, for example, which is the import number linked to your VAT number, like it's game over. So you really have to be careful, because suspension is the worst thing for a seller, right?
Sure. It's a thing that keeps you up at night.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So for people who want to find out more about you or e-commas, or they're interested in expanding to the European market, like, where should they go? What should they look at?
Yeah, so we're very active on LinkedIn, just like you, Joe. And, you know, I hope you follow Joe, because there's lots of things to be learned there. We try also to share as much information on going global, on retail media, on what we love. LinkedIn is a great place. And follow us. We try to share as much as possible. We have our own website, e-commerce.com. That's where you can find us easily.
Yeah. Well, Jerome, it's been awesome to have you on the podcast. It's really fun to do this in person. I love sitting next to you and being able to do this. So thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah. And for all those who are listening to the Ad Project, as always, we really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And we will see you on the next episode.